Sahana Vavatu Sahana Bhunaktu Sahaviryam Karavavahai Tejasvinavaditamastamavidvishavahai Om Shanti 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 Om Jaya Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Shrivasari Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare.
Okay, page 60. Chapter 20, The Dynasty of Puru. According to Vedic injunctions, the father is born as the son. Because the seed of the child is placed in the mother's womb, but it is the father who is responsible for maintaining the son. In the Bhagavad Gita, the Lord says that he is the seed-giving father of all living entities. Aham bija pradapita. Bhagavad Gita 14.4. And therefore, he is responsible for maintaining them. He who discharges semen is the actual father, and his son saves him from the custody of Yamaraj. Because the son delivers his father from punishment in the hell called Put, the son is known as Putra. According to Vedic Smriti, when there is a disagreement between the father and mother, it is the father, not the mother, who is delivered by the son. But if the wife is faithful and firmly adherent to her husband, then when the father is delivered, the mother is also delivered. Therefore, there is no such thing as divorce in the Vedic literature. Husband and wife should not separate under any condition. For if they have a child whom they raise to be a Vaishnava, he can save both the father and mother from the custody of Yamaraj and punishment in hellish life.
Can parents save their children?
Yeah, it means whoever is a devotee. But we're saying here is, let's say the child is a devotee, so if the father and mother are connected, then his saving, it says, saves 21 generations, you know, 10 before, 10 after, in themselves. So that means that's going back through the fathers. And then in the future would be the fathers. So then if the women are connected to that father, then they're saved along with. But if they're not connected, then they're not saved. So it goes all ways. Yeah.
Doubt may arise.
A doubt may arise. It might just like, okay, yes.
Could be a doubt that, so don't we also say that whoever the mother is married to is the actual father, not the
mother? No, because when you perform, you may also do that, but you're performing the Shraddha rite for who is the father.
Okay.
So if that person's accepted as a father, mm-hmm. then...
Okay.
That's the father, but still the point being made here is you have both. Is then who is the is the mother connected to
okay,
that
so
father?
Two different points.
Yeah, okay. You know, it means they're connected because that's why it says it becomes less complicated. If you don't mess these things up, then it's very straightforward. You know, you have the son, you have the mother, you have the father, then Hari Bol. But if it's, you know, how you say, new one devotee where. The daughter was actually, the girl was living with her stepfather. Both her mother and father were gone.
Yeah.
Right? The mother and mother and father split. I think she went with the mother. Then when the mother remarried the stepfather, then the mother split and left her with the stepfather. And so then she considers that person her father. Right? So then that's where the relationship goes. Because otherwise they've broken off. It's left.
So spiritually it's not about biology. It's about the
no.
relationship.
No. Means when you say real, that means of the 12 kinds of sons, the one who is biological, that you would say is the real son. All the others are then some other arrangement. But they're all counted as sons. Right, but that one's your most natural. That one, you know, the emotion, everything flows the nicest with that. So that's why it's the recommended. But otherwise, it goes off. Let's say the mother goes off with someone else, or is not connected to, then she becomes another gotra.
Oh.
Right? So then you're saving your father, that gotra. So then if she becomes part of something else, or she disconnects herself from that, because then she's connected with the husband, she's that gotra. She disconnects herself, then either it's with the new husband or goes back to the father's gotra. So then it's not the same line. That's the difficulty. That's why then you have the mechanics, and then you also have the emotions. So then they all connect. So in the modern, they'll say, well, this is not practical and this and that, because they use an impractical system to get married in the first place. So naturally it creates, you know, imperfections. But the Vedic system, then all these things are seriously considered. Is that, you know, so it's taken more seriously. You know, here it's kind of like, Vedic is, you know, the one family, the other family, they know and this and that. One family goes over, it's already known, it's happening, it's just now official, because it's been discussed. Then they go over, and then, you know, between the boys' girl's family and the boy, then the fathers, then they make, you know, that statement that they're committing themselves to this marriage and everything like that, and then they're engaged. Right?
Yeah.
So it's a very, you know what's happening. It's exact. It's like this. But in the modern, it's the guy, you know, is there and he's nervous and that, fiddling in his pocket all the time. And you kind of wonder, well, something's going on here. And then he pulls out a little box and then she's like this. And then, you know, then everybody else at all the other tables around, and they kind of, you know, notice a little bit. Then when he opens the box and gets down on his knee, then if she said, you know, she says yes and all that, then the whole restaurant, they all clap. Like that, you know, it's because, wow, it happened. It's, you know, it's wow, this is great. Because why? Because they don't know if it'll happen. They don't know. It's not scientific. You know what I'm saying? So then using such an unscientific marriage, if something goes wrong, then you can't, yeah, then it is, yeah, you can't. It is impractical. But the point is, in the Vedic, then it's scientific, so it, the more is known, it's understood. It's not that you can't misuse either, or properly, nicely apply either. But the point is that proper application, therefore the commitment maintains for a lifetime, that fidelity, then that's what you're looking for. That then creates benefit for both father and mother if the son is a devotee, and therefore he's going to save them. And even if he's not a devotee, he's going to save them, you know, from, at least from the material, from Yamaraj's, you know, hellish situation. Means that the mother's connected to the father, then both gets, means he just does the shraddha rite for the father. The mother gets the benefit. Does that make sense? Yeah.
So, Maharaj, what about if the child is a daughter? Is only daughter.
It's a daughter, so her son will do the rites.
Oh, my daughter's son.
Yes.
Grandchild.
The grandchild will do.
Okay, so he can do the shraddha ceremony for the daughter's
grandfather.
Father.
Yes.
Oh, yeah. But her son is belong to the gotri of the her.
No, but she. But the, yes, but still, that's the arrangement. You know, because someone has to do it. So that's why you also have appointed daughters. So then, technically, her son is appointed that he'll do the shraddha rite for the grandfather.
Oh.
So before the marriage, it's already understood that's how it's going to work. Does that make sense?
Okay.
Yeah. You know, so in the Vedic, nothing's left to chance there. So.
Yeah.
Yes?
So, Maharaj, can we say that without following the proper principles of Dharma, then nidhi, whatever we apply, it will not go according to a proper hierarchy?
It's mechanical, right? Means you have the pot on the fire, you turn around to the counter behind you, you grab the vegetables in both your hands. You're supposed to turn 180 degrees and then drop them in the pot, but you're in a rush, so you turn only 165 degrees and then drop them, but then they don't actually fall in the pot. It's just mechanics. That's what we were discussing before. Mechanics are mechanics. That's all it is. You do the right thing, you get the right result. You do the wrong thing, you get the wrong result. It's not rocket science here. Now, if people are going to appreciate it or not, that depends on the attitude, right? The proper mood and everything like that. Does that make sense? So that's where the culture comes in. Because culture is how you deal, right? Then mechanics are what is appropriate. So because you have to deal with both, the intellectual and with the emotional, therefore it may appear a bit clumsy. But the point is human being made of both of that, then you have to address both. Right? So if you just efficiently do one or the other, then the other aspect is not satisfied. And so, though we'll say it's being practical, is it actually practical? Because if we gain benefit, let's say economic benefit, but we don't gain relationship benefit in relationships or emotions, then have we actually gained benefit? You know what I'm saying? The guy's working really hard, doing his 12 hours and all that, really moving up on the ladder, really wealthy. They have fancy house, fancy cars, fancy everything, fancy vacations, fancy clothes, like that. Everybody's got a credit card. It's, that way you can say nicely done. But then one day the guy comes home and finds that his wife's packed her bags and the children have packed their bags. Right? And he's bewildered because he's doing all this for them. So yes, mechanically he is, but emotionally he's not. So therefore, why is it a family? Not because of the mechanics, because of the emotion. And then the mechanics is just part of the duties in the emotion. So technically, he's not a husband and not a father. He's just the guy who makes money for these people. How smart is that? You don't even know them. You don't interact with them. You don't relate to them. And you're working so hard, 12 hours a day, for them. That's stupid. Right? Does that make sense? So that's what we're talking about. Unless the two go together, you don't actually have anything. Naturally, of course, because the mind being its mischievous self. No, but what happens if he's just so nicely interactive but doesn't, go out and get the money? We have to say that, just because it's there to say, they say. We have to find a doubt, a fault. But the point is the Vedas say do both. But of the two, the emotional is stronger than the other. So you have, Tiny Tim's family was doing great as a family, though they didn't have much. Scrooge had the problem. Right? Does that make sense? Yeah, so that's how it goes. So because it's such an important lesson, then every year at Christmas time, then this story is told and retold and even more told. Does that make sense? Okay.
Maharaj,
yes.
Here the father and the mother, when they have a disagreement, and the father is faulty and the mother is fine. So in that particular case, then what is the probability that the father will be delivered? Because according to you, it says that father should be delivered from the puta.
No, but he's wrong. But the point is, when you do the shraddha rite, it's connected to the father. Your duty is the shraddha rite connected to the father. There is no shraddha rite for the mother. You understand?
Mm-hmm.
So then if there's a connection, then it works.
Okay. Always here the father and the mother or the husband and wife are considered as a package.
Yes. Yes. Adhyaya Prakashika. This chapter describes the story of Puru and his descendant, Dushmanta. The son of Puru was Janamejaya, and his son was Prachinvan. The sons and grandsons in the line of Prachinvan, one after another, were Pravira, Manushya, Manushyu, Charupada, Sudyu, Bahugava, Samyati, Ahamyati, and Raudrashva. Raudrashva had 10 sons, Retyu, Kasheyu, Standileyu, Kriteyuka, Jaleyu, Sana Teyu, Dharma, Dharameyu, Satyeyu, Vrateyu, and Vaneyu. So then, you'd have a problem. In the modern age, you wouldn't be able to do it. You just go, hey, you. Which one?
Which one?
10 yous here. And then if they were Chinese, it'd be even worse. Vrateyu, you.
You. You, you.
Yeah. You. Which you? You, you. Yeah, no, we'd have problems. Yeah. Then the son of Riteyu was Rantinava, who had 3 sons, Sumati, Dhruva, and Aprati Rata. The son of Aprati Rata was Kanva, and Kanva's son was Medhatiti. The sons of Medhatiti, headed by Prashkanna, were all Brahmins. The son of Rantinava, named Sumati, had a son named Nabhi, and his son was Dushmanta. While hunting, because Dushmanta is then, he's the father of Bharat. Why it's called Bharat Varsha. So that's why then this line is being described up to here. While hunting in the forest, Dushmanta once approached the ashram of Maharshi Kanva, where he saw an extremely beautiful woman and became attracted to her. That woman was the daughter of Vishwamitra, and her name was Shakuntala. Right? We always talk about Vishwamitra, and I think it was Menaka, right? So then, after having the child, then she just left the child down next to, she knew where where the area was. She knew that down next to the river there Kanvamuni would come every day. Because Vishwamitra just got upset and left. So then, being devatas, then they can just have the child immediately. So she knew where he'd go to bathe every day. So she left the child there. And then when Kanvamuni came down to take his bath, he saw the baby there, and there were vultures standing all around protecting her, right, to make sure no one bothered her. I guess it was the arrangement of Menaka, you know, like that. So then she's known as Shakuntala. Tala means underneath, right? And so the Shakuna, I guess, means the vultures. Like that.
Maharaj?
Yes.
Rishabhadev, Bharat Maharaj's father?
Yeah, there are actually 3 Bharata. One is Rishabhdev's, one is this Bharata Dushyanta, and the other is Lakshman, Bharata Ram, Lakshman. That
yes. So that I know of, it's called Bharat Varsha from this Bharat. The other one's known as famous because of being Jara Bharat. But he's famous for the rule. So that I know of, that this area of the planet is called Bharat Varsha because of him.
How this Bharat is India Bharat Varsha?
Yes. Yeah, so there is. Yeah, so it's just a matter of which one. That's why it's. Then you have to know the context.
Got it.
Okay. That woman was the daughter of Vishwamitra, and her name was Shakuntala. Her mother was Menaka, who had left her in the forest where Kanvamuni found her. Kanvamuni brought her to his ashram, where he raised and maintained her. When Shakuntala accepted Maharaj Dushmanta as her husband, he married her according to the Gandharva Vidhi. Shakuntala later became pregnant by her husband, who left her in the ashram of Kanvamuni and returned to his kingdom. In due course of time, Shakuntala gave birth to a Vaishnava son, but Dushmanta, having returned to the capital, forgot what had taken place. Therefore, when Shakuntala approached him with her newly born child, Maharaj Dushmanta refused to accept him as his wife and son. Later, however, after a mysterious omen, the king accepted them. After Dushmanta's death, Bharata, the son of Shakuntala, was enthroned. He performed many great sacrifices in which he gave great riches and charity to Brahmanas. This chapter ends by describing the birth of Bharadwaj and how Maharaj Bharata accepted Bharadwaj as his son. Shloka Anusharanam. Verses 1 to 7, the descendants of Puru. Verses 8 to 22, the story of Maharaj Dushmanta and Shakuntala. Verses 23 to 34, the wonderful activities of Maharaj Bharata, son of Maharaj Dushmanta. Verses 35 to 39, the Maruts give Bharadwaj to Maharaj Bharat. Verses 1 to 7, the descendants of Puru. Srila Sukadev Goswami said, O Maharaj Prakrit, a descendant of Maharaj Bharata, I shall now describe the dynasty of Puru in which you were born, in which many saintly kings appeared, and from which many dynasties of Brahmins began. So it's also then, this is his forefathers, so it's also, you know, proper to describe. Mm-hmm. King Janamejaya was born of this dynasty of Puru. Janamejaya's son was Prachinvan, and his son was Pravira. Thereafter, Pravira's son was Manushu, and from Manushu came the son named Charupada. The son of Charupada was Sudyu, and the son of Sudyu was Bahugava, and Bahugava's son was Samyati. From Samyati came a son named Ahamyati, from whom Raudrasva was born. Raudrasva had 10 sons named Retyu, Kakshayu, Standileyu, Kriteyuka, Yukta, Jaleyu, Sannateyu, Dharmeyu, Satyeyu, Vrateyu, and Vaneyu. Of these 10 sons, Vaneyu was the youngest. As the ten senses, which are products of the universal life, act under the control of life, these 10 sons of Raudrasva acted under Raudrasva's full control. All of them were born of the apsara named Gritachi. Riteyu had a son named Rantinava, who had 3 sons named Sumati, Dhruva, and Apratirata. Apratirata had only 1 son, whose name was Kanva. The son of Kanva was Medatiti, whose sons, all brahmanas, were headed by Praskanna. The son of Rantinava, named Sumati, had a son named Rebhi. Maharaj Dushmanta is well known as the son of Rebhi. Verses 8-22, the story of Maharaj Dushmanta and Shakuntala. Srila Sukadeva Goswami continued. Once when King Dushmanta went to the forest to hunt and was very much fatigued, he approached the residence of Kanva Muni. There he saw a most beautiful woman who looked exactly like the goddess of fortune and who sat there illuminating the entire ashram by her effulgence. The king was naturally attracted by her beauty, and therefore he approached her, accompanied by some of his soldiers, and spoke to her. Seeing the beautiful woman, the king was very much enlivened, and the fatigue of his hunting excursion was relieved. He was, of course, very much attracted because of lusty desires, and thus he inquired from her as follows, in a joking mood. O beautiful lotus-eyed woman, who are you? Whose daughter are you? What purpose do you have in this solitary forest? Why are you staying there? O most beautiful one, it appears to my mind that you must be the daughter of a Kshatriya. Because I belong to the Puru dynasty, my mind never endeavors to enjoy anything irreligiously. Footnote 28. Srila Prabhupada explains that Maharaj Dushmanta indirectly expressed his desire to marry Shakuntala, for she appeared to his mind to be the daughter of some Kshatriya king. Right? Just her dignity, her prowess. That's because one Vishwamitra does his, you could say his, genealogically he is a Kshatriya, but at the same time as then Menaka, then she's, you know, half, you know, demigod. So that gives that dignity along with this. So all this will give him that impression. Shakuntala said, I am the daughter of Vishwamitra. My mother, Menaka, left me in the forest. O hero, the most powerful saint Kanva Muni knows all about this. Now let me know, how may I serve you? O king with eyes like the petals of a lotus, kindly come sit down and accept whatever reception we can offer. But meaning they're Brahmins, they're living in the forest, so whatever they can offer you, please accept that, because that's what they have. We have a supply of Nivara rice that you may kindly take, and if you so desire, stay here without hesitation. King Dushmanta replied, O Shakuntala, with beautiful eyebrows, you have taken your birth in the family of the great saint Vishwamitra, and your reception is quite worthy of your family. Aside from this, the daughters of a king generally select their own husbands. Right? So saying, because Brahman family always use the Brahma right, because that's the, generally the tendencies. The Brahman girls is always properly the father. He's aware of all the different things. He makes all the arrangements very nicely. The Kshatriyas then we see is that the father may be making the arrangements, so you're using the Brahma right, but it's also then very much she's involved, or she may select her own because of, you know, the training and all that. So, and they are, I say, that dynamic aspect, they like to be involved. While for the Brahmins, because of their detachment, then if it's a nice arrangement, they're not worried about it, right? They're dependent more on the, just how things will work out. Does that make sense? So he's brought out this point, is they generally, the Kshatriya girl, daughters of a king, generally select their own husband, meaning she could select him now, even though Kandava Muni is not in the ashram. He went out for some purpose. Srila Prabhupada comments to verse 15. In a reception of Maharaj Dushmanta, Shukundala clearly said, "Your Majesty may stay here, and you may accept whatever reception I can offer." Thus she indicated that she wanted Maharaj Dushmanta as her husband. As far as Maharaj Dushmanta was concerned, he desired Shukundala as his wife from the very beginning, as soon as he saw her. So the agreement to unite his husband and wife was natural. To induce Shakuntala to accept the marriage, Maharaj Dushmanta reminded her that as the daughter of a king, she could select her husband in open assembly. Right? So it's just him and her, but it's still an open assembly. It's just a chorus. There's nothing else there. And so then, you know, Swayamvaras happened. Yes?
Seems that from my understanding of Vedic culture, just by knowing from which family you come from,
no.
That's it. You're my wife.
Yeah, because the point is the nature is what you live with. What you get to know is what the other person wants you to know. But what you're going to actually end up living with is what's the inherent nature. So that's why the modern system is, it's totally unscientific. You know, it's all
fundamentally flawed.
Yeah, it means it's just by chance that it works out. So if the person's karma is that it would work out, then it works out. But it's not that the system itself has any glory.
So when did this whole thing start? Like Prabhupada says, in our culture in India, we consult the astrologer.
Yes.
The characters and the personalities match.
Yes.
Outside the Vedic context.
So outside the Vedic context, basically it's just a matter of a combination between the balance of social acceptance and hormones. Basically, that's what you're working with. And so then whatever flies, then that's what works. I mean, the hormones always, how you say, always win.
That's why the social acceptance keeps getting pushed.
It keeps changed because it's back. That's why at the end of Kali Yuga, towards the end, then, which means after the Golden Age. So after 10,000 years, when it goes into, then for, 7,000 years, then basically it'll run on this, that boys will be fathers at six, girls will be mothers at five. That means they were married by Gandharva rite a year before that. Like that. So that's where it'll go. And that'll be standard. Because, an old man is 20. Yeah. Yeah. You die at 20.
You have to be fast.
Hmm? Yes. Yeah. So it's otherwise, it's survival of the fittest.
Right? Practical.
Astrology for calculation is becoming arranging
marriages? No. That's always used. But here it's that you have the nature that's so similar and the dutifulness that even if it's not, you could say that they particularly like, the duties will be performed. So based on the principle of attachment due to association, that'll happen. It may not have... See, the modern, they're looking for that natural attachment. But if that didn't happen like this, at love at first sight, then it's not happening. It will happen by the second. So the modern is, oh, then let's get to know each other. But no, but that'll happen within the marriage, because otherwise everything exciting happened outside the marriage, so what's exciting with the marriage? So the Vedic system is everything interesting should happen within the marriage. So then they get to know each other there. So here they may be qualified and are able to make that judgment. But the point is in general, to be able to do that is not something that most people either have the ability or necessarily want to get involved in. The modern, because you're starting from a culture that starts from shabda, from authority, and then comes down. So authority has seen, then you apply it, then with your own senses you're able to appreciate the relationship. But in the modern society, because it's an ascending process, it starts from pratyaksha, therefore everybody feels that they're in control if they use the method of pratyaksha to see if the marriage is any good. But because they don't know the science of, you know, nature, varnashram, masculine, feminine nature, then it is basically only karma. If in their previous life they had been pious, this life they'll find a partner that it works. So they're thinking, oh, but the modern works. No, the modern never works. It's left over from previous life. Like that. Because we see is if you use the modern, it's not meant for very long. Like let's say you have all the animal species, right? And so in the books on the animals, you know, then it's all about what do they eat, what are they, you know, they're sleeping, they're mating, and they're defending. Right? There's nothing else mentioned. Otherwise, you know, unless there's some weirdo color or something, you know, strange like that. But otherwise it'd be this. How many animals do we know of that they mate for life? Right? There's a few. Swans, couple. There's not many. Well, actually, few, not couple, few. Does that make sense? So in the animal kingdom, which is the method of just using pratyaksha, then most don't last like that. As long as the children up there on their own, they're gone. That would be the natural position. So some of them, the kids from very early, they can take care of themselves. And others, then it takes a little longer. But once that's done, then that family it disperses. And they, you know, like the hotel example, go their own way. Oh, interesting. Just looked up Prabhupada in the word for word, right? Then the word for hotel, then he gives the definition, means the place where there's water.
The place where water is supplied.
Yeah, where water is supplied. So that's what it's actually placed. So it's some place to sit down, water supplied, you can make yourself comfortable, like that. So that, yeah, we were discussing, so therefore in the office, that place where the water cooler is, you see everybody stands around there, hangs out. That's the hotel.
It's the tubba.
Huh? Yes.
Maharaj, in this case, he just goes back to his kingdom and forgets about the wife.
Yeah, that's here, because that's also, I don't know if it'll come out here, but the Mahabharata is that because he went there with his army people, but when he went into the ashram to talk to her, no one came. So that that the relationship with her, that they were husband and wife and this was his son, wasn't known to any of his ministers or anyone. So if he just accepted them, they might doubt. So therefore he played this mood that he doesn't know them or anything, so that then something would happen, that would an omen would come that would prove that they are, and then like that. But in the meantime, it was definitely a strain in the relationship. But you do have the aspect of him forgetting means he went back to the kingdom, said he'll send someone, he forgot to send someone. But it's also the same principle.
It's love for life.
Huh?
You mentioned it's love for life.
Yeah, so it's there. But the point is,
about it.
Huh?
Yeah. Maybe he was cursed for something like that.
Sorry?
He was cursed because of which he forgot Shakuntala.
Oh, like maybe. That's more. It's all coming up.
No, it's not coming up. About the curse.
It's not coming up without the curse.
No, the curse.
What you said. Maybe.
What I said is coming up.
There is no curse. He didn't get any curse. When she comes along with brahmanas also. There is a woman and there were brahmanas there. So after the woman comes, he explains. Because he knows that Bharata would be the next. He has to accept him as the next emperor. So it has to be proved to everyone that this is.
Okay, otherwise then they'll just say, we'll consider that he's not the main son.
Yes.
Okay. We're all good?
What? Shakuntala would be considered a daughter of Vishwamitra and Menaka. So she's not exactly under the rules. That's why she can act like this?
No, because she's in the ashram. And by Gandharva right, it can be used in the other ages. Generally, Brahmins don't use it, but they can use it. In other words, Brahmins can use all six, but generally they just use those first ones, the first four. But and Kshatriya and the Gandharva and the Rakshasa, that will be used by Kshatriyas, you know, like that, along with those others. But so it's in the other age. It's not Kali Yuga, so there's no problem in doing it because they'll commit, so it'll work. It'll last. You know, it's just not considered as ideal because you haven't included the whole family. As you can see, it's because of the Gandharva rite, the king has a problem. Because if it had been an official marriage, it was there, he would have called his ministers, they would have waited for Kandamuni. And Gandharva Muni. And then made the arrangements, they would have gone to the capital, they would have had a big wedding, or they would have brought everybody out there and had the wedding there, then there's no problem. But because they use the Gandharva rite, that has that element that it's not as ideal as the other rites, it runs into problems. You know what I'm saying?
So there is no witness over here.
Yeah, there's no witness. You know, so that's why, you know, when the kids elope, the family doesn't, it doesn't go down so well with the family. Right? Yeah. So the point is the Vedic things are there. What's the standards of them? That's just always there. You know, because even if it's the Gandharva, the modern, they want it to be formalized. So they're technically married by that. That's the arrangement is that. And having been arranged and they've decided on it themselves without the family, then the family gets involved and then they have the marriage and then technically the father gives away the daughter. But, you know, in the Vedic system, then there's supposed to be a particular, maintained level of purity like that, while in the modern that is may or may not. That's very individual.
Okay.
Yes, optional. Right. Is that, In the history of Aryan civilization, there have been many instances in which famous princesses have selected their husbands in open competitions. But it says many, not all. Most don't. Like that. But there are histories where many have. You know, the great, generally very, very well trained, very, very prominent, like that. You know, like that. So that. For example, it was in such a competition that Sita Devi accepted Lord Ramachandra as her husband, and that Draupadi accepted Arjuna. And there are many other instances. So marriage by agreement or by selecting one's own husband in an open competition is allowed. There are 8 kinds of marriage, of which marriage by agreement is called Gandharva marriage. Generally, the parents select a husband or wife for their daughter or son. But Gandharva marriage takes place by personal selection. Still, although marriage by personal selection or by agreement took place in the past, we find no such thing as divorce by disagreement. So that's the point. They get together. It works. That's the thing. They're committed to it, so it'll work. Because if you follow the rules properly, even if the natures aren't, you know, exact, because you're doing all the duties that should be done, that's what's expected, and so therefore, what's the problem? Does that make sense? That's the whole thing, is that it works, so therefore, there's no disagreement. Disagreement comes on, it doesn't work, or totally different ideas how it should work. So him being from a Kshatriya line, she being from a Kshatriya line, they won't have disagreements. They're followers of the Vedic culture, there won't be disagreements. Does that make sense? So that's the thing. We have common philosophy, but we'll have different cultures. So when we accept the Vedic culture, then there's one culture, then there won't be any problems. Is that... Yeah. Yeah, so they had marriage by agreement, but no divorce by disagreement. Very far, how Prabhupada uses the wording, right? Of course, divorce by disagreement took place among low-class men. Right? So it means it's always been there. The tribals are always there and all these things. You have these tribals, and they have their customs, and some, they go way, way back. You know, it's not that they made them up themselves. It's just always been there. So these kind of things in the you know, low class, they may have these things, but that's among them. But it's not supposed to influence or be used as a standard for those who can be trained. Yes.
Isn't it also that we see Shudras, they may know what's the right thing, but not always able to
do it? Yes. So it'll be there. Yes. It'll be there. You know, then you have the other thing is then you have outside of that. So you have Shudras, which are within the human framework, and it may be, you know, touch and go there, but basically it just always works. But then you have the you know, in other words, their life, their occupation fits in nicely where they interact, their personal life, and how their community works, that may have some slight differences from those who are more trained. But then the tribals, they may have their own set of rules, totally. You know, like that. You know, something unique in that. Like I told you, that one village. I think it's an area, but it was about one village where, you know, in this, the girl's selecting the boy. You know, so it comes from that side. That maintains. She goes up to the boy's house, knocks on the door. Then you know, when he comes to the door, she hands him something. I don't know what it is, but it's something specific. And then she runs. And if he can catch her before she gets back to her house, they get married. Right?
So slower if she wants.
That's another thing. It depends on, you know, if it's, you know, yeah, of course. So she'll start off fast just to give him, you know, he's got to work. You know, it's not that easy. But then if he's getting close to that and he's not there, you know, he has to stop, use his puffer, you know, stuff like that. Then she might slow down, you know, trip, you know, tie her shoe, you know, stuff like that. I'm sure they all have their tricks.
The villagers must be entertained by that.
Yeah. But the point is she's selected, but he has to prove himself.
She wants to see
his face. Huh? Yeah, he has to, you know, in other words, if she goes selects and he, you know, kind of like, you know, closes the door, then, you know, that's not going to work.
And she takes back the thing that she gets?
I'm not sure. Yeah, she probably rings on the bell again. But I haven't heard about if she's like, and another boy is running and he catches. I haven't heard about that. But,
so?
Yes. So, in other words, you know, the general class may have their own unique things, you know, like that. Does that make sense? You know, it's just like, you know, the thing down on a knee, have a little box, right? You never seen like a bright pink box. It's always got to be something dark and sober. Does that make sense? You know, what's inside should be a diamond, you know, things like that. Even though diamond's not actually expensive compared to other rings, but it's somewhat diamond's the standard. You know?
Venus.
Sorry?
It's diamond as the jewel for Venus.
Venus, yeah, but it's technically not actually necessarily that good for ladies.
No, it's not.
No, but it's the one because diamonds are a girl's best friend. And, you know, we're gonna go was it Miss Monroe? You know, it's like that. You know, so. Yeah. Because the point was, is it's not great for the relationship, but, you know, at least then you're left with the ring, you know, and so then you can always, you know.
I think also some guys in Switzerland made it like that.
It's actually the Boers in South Africa.
Okay.
Means because they own the diamond factory, mines, so then they advertise that
this is the way to go.
Yeah. So, that is the, so the point is everybody has their method. And so the locals, they do it by that, and as long as it's not against the Vedic principle, then the local kings would let it run. So that they have their ring, they got that doesn't matter. You know, that's their method, it works for them, fine. Right? Does that make sense? You know. Yeah. But the point is here is then the more highly qualified, then they have proper agreement because they're trained. While those who are untrained, they use this, then it generally can be a bit of a problem. But okay, of course, divorce by disagreement took place among low-class men, but marriage by agreement was found even in the very highest classes, especially in the royal Kshatriya families. Maharaj Dushyanta's acceptance of Shakuntala's wife was sanctioned by Vedic culture. How the marriage took place is described in the next verse. Srila Sukadeva Goswami continued, when Shakuntala responded to Maharaj Dushyanta's proposal with silence, the agreement was complete. Then the king, who knew the laws of marriage, immediately married her by chanting the Vedic pranava, Om, Omkara, in accordance with the marriage ceremony as performed among the Gandharvas. Srila Prabhupada writes, the Omkara pranava is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, represented by letters. Bhagavad Gita says that the letters A-U-M, combined together as Om, represent the Supreme Lord. Religious principles are meant to evoke the blessings and mercy of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Krishna, who says in Bhagavad Gita that he is personally present in sexual desires that are not contrary to religious principles. The word vidhina means according to religious principles. The association of men and women according to religious principles is allowed in the Vedic culture. In our Krishna conscious movement, we allow marriage on the basis of religious principles. But the sexual combination of men and women as friends is irreligious and is not allowed. So that's the difference, because the whole point is that it creates the next generation. The whole point of being parent generally means having children, right? So then the quality of the next generation is based on the quality of the relationship of the parents, right? That's the whole point. So the qualified parents, then the qualified children, it keeps going down. So that's why there's care in this. The modern looks at it from a very self-centered point of view. Now you get a lot of people together as a community professing this self-centeredness, but the point is not about the community, it's about the self-centeredness. Right? The no, everybody can pick, everyone can choose, it's up to them and all this, but what effect does it have on the child? The child is never part of the consideration of the modern liberal viewpoint. Right? If it's parent, child against parent, yes. Then it's child not parent, or it's parent not child. They can't do both. It's not part of the job description. You know what I'm saying?
Someone has to be the victim.
Yes, someone has to be the victim, like that. But the point is, the traditional, it has to be about both. Right? So in the Vedic system, it's about both. What's proper for the parents? That will work, so what arrangements in marriage will make it actually last a lifetime for them, that's what's going to make it proper for the child. Because the child doesn't like parents break up. Parents don't like it, but they can live with it. They move on, they, you know, get something new. But the point is for the children, this person and that person are the parents. And then they go off marrying someone else and this and that. And then it's all, how many times the step-parent the kid actually likes. Sometimes they do, sometimes they don't. So here we're saying, you know, it's not uncommon in the Kshatriyas, you know, that they do this. It's not that it's a majority, but it's quite common. But we'll take, oh, so then we can do this. But then if you have a great amount of the remarriages and the parenting, you know, shuffle here, kids don't like it, it's not considered a factor. You find an exception or, you know, more of a standard thing or someone more qualified. Oh, I can do that. But then what is actually very obvious that it doesn't work, then we leave that to, the kids have to understand and this and that. At what point do the parents understand? You know, when is that part of the equation? Like that, you know. Because it's always my life and my this and that, you know. So it says, it's what about the kids? You know, so like that, it's a problem. So if the whole thing's approached properly, then you avoid the maximum, reduction in difficulties. Right? Means it's not, there's not going to be a difficulty, but in the performance of your duties, there's always difficulties. But at least it's reduced down. Right? Does that make sense? Yes.
In the Gandharva rite, when they do the samskaras?
When they do the samskaras?
Only round is good for the conception. I hear.
Oh, that means that would be there. As far as I know, it's two mantras. So that would mean... Okay.
Okay.
15 seconds. Okay.
It's quite easy. Quite easy.
Yeah.
You didn't quick chant 50 rounds or anything like that.
That's because we don't chant the mantras and that puts the devotional headspace there. You know, people who are controlled anyway and they use that, then that's there. But for us, then one, it gives better because it adds a devotional element too, but it also adds because sometimes the lack of the cultural. Like that. And he must have stayed for some time. Yeah, because it didn't mention a closet or something, so had to be more time.
Maharaj, are those 50 rounds really necessary?
Yes. Just start from there, yes. That's probably gave it, yes.
Even if father and mother are totally absorbed in devotional service?
Yes, because if they're totally absorbed, what's the problem with 50 rounds?
Do they need the kitchen?
Huh? Means what would be the problem with the 50 rounds? You're so absorbed in your service, you're not thinking tonight's the night. And there's not the little starry things in the eyes and all that kind of jazz that Bhagavatam talks about. Right? You know, we haven't already arranged, okay, did the bed sheets get washed, did this and that, you know, clean it up, tidy things up, freshen up the air. So all that's not happening. So if once that's happening, what are you thinking about? Sex. So Prabhupada's idea is, why don't you think about some Hare Krishna Maha Mantra along with all that sex? Does that make sense? So in other words, we're so quick to drop anything that is not what we're used to. You know what I'm saying? That's the whole point. Because according to the modern norms, we'll get into all the details of, you know, the arrangements and where it is and this and that. You know what I'm saying? So if we're doing that, why is that there? That's because of our samskars, our background. So the idea is, why not improve those, develop those? Does that make sense? Yeah. So therefore, that's the standard. That just purifies the womb. That's what the Gandharva Veda. Garbhodan. Yeah. Garbhodan samskars four. But what about the consciousness of the child? That's going to be... That's what the 50 rounds are for. Right? Yeah, I remember one mother getting on the case of the son about something is really, you know, something he's doing older, like that. And the son just looked at his mother and says, "Hey, you know, you're talking about my character. You're the one that chanted the 50 rounds, not me."
Maybe you should have paid a better
attention. Yeah, maybe paid more attention. Yeah. You understand? So the Garbhodan creates a pure environment. But it's still the consciousness is what attracts the living entity. So it's like this. If the environment is impure, then a pure living entity won't be attracted. Right? Does that make sense? So that's why then pure consciousness, pure environment, that together then it works nice. Okay? That's why it's recommended. So we should be very careful about, because your mom didn't do it, so why do I have to do it? Hey, the 57 Chevy worked fine. You know, what do we need all this fancy arrangements for? Right? Yes.
From both unqualified parents, sometimes we can see very advanced person
comes. Yes. The point is, okay. Now, just means there's two aspects. Okay. In answering this, what are we trying to accomplish? Because we're taking this as an exception. So do we want to prove the rule by this, or do we want to break the rule by this?
I don't want to break or prove, I just want to see.
But then if it's yes, but then if it's just for interest's sake, the point is there must be something there that then it worked out. You know what I'm saying? So there's a commonality there, because you do have souls that maybe they're quite advanced, but due to their own, iniquity? Work in their own consciousness, therefore they qualify to take birth in a not good situation, though they themselves may be quite advanced. So then it may match that there's some connection there, that it works. But it's still an exception. Does that make sense? So that's the whole idea, is that the exception proves the rule. In the modern society, the exception breaks the rule and we throw the whole thing out. But if you'll notice, it's always the same exception that everybody comes up with. So therefore we don't have to worry about that. We have to worry about, because out of so many unqualified parents, how many are getting these great saintly persons? Right? So, like that. That's the point. So that's why we understand it's an exception. It's not that, oh, see, they got so, therefore I can get. But are you an exception? Of course, everyone thinks they're exceptional, but, you know, that's the whole point. You know, just like, hey, the Kshatriyas do it, I can do it, you know.
In CC, it's explained how Mahaprabhu, he will put it's great souls in bad families to spread the sanctity and movement.
Yes.
In certain instances. I mean, you have them.
Yeah.
In Kali Yuga.
But if the family's too bad, like Haridas Thakur, who's Lord Brahma, he left when he was 5. So, in other words, we shouldn't push our luck.
It's not the recommended.
Yeah, it's not the recommended. We should always. Does that make sense? Yeah. So, in other words, we catch what is the principle. Consciousness is there in purity. So, the more pure, then the more from the more cultured living entities you can attract. The higher the consciousness. Because you do have living entities who are cultured, but not necessarily very conscious. Good families, but not very developed. So, they might be attracted by so-and-so. But, you know, here we got. But culturally, is there. There's more purity. Or the other, like this. But the point is these are the mechanics how you work, and then how much you adjust it this way or that way. Does that make sense? You know, this end is white, that end is black, and how you, in between, then it'll be more towards black, more towards white, as you, the gradations in between. So we understand the principles, then we know how to run it. Does that make sense? That's the idea. So we're given the science in that way. Is that okay?
Can we say that the problem is that we're thinking, do we have to, rather than thinking of it as a resource, as a
yes, a it's help. Like, do we have to do this? It's so much trouble and all that. But that's the whole point. You take that trouble. It's just like this. Just as there, the moment comes up, one gets, inspired, and the next thing you know, you have a kid.
Yes.
Okay. So what modes were we functioning under? Passion and ignorance. Right? So what kind of kid will we have? That will be generally the position. Now, if in this whole, there's a, because Garbhodhan means you have to plan. Right? So that means then, how in planning, and this, then what mode is required to be able to do that?
Goodness.
Because if there's passion, you can't wait. There's ignorance, you don't even see the importance of it. So goodness. So you've automatically brought the environment to goodness. You're going to use the mode of passion to generate the child. You know, just like the knife is going to use the mode of ignorance to cut it up. At the same time, the mode of passion is being used because you're creating something. But the mode of goodness is being used overall because you're following the technique and it's going to be offered to Krishna. Right? So that's the whole idea, is that the mode of passion may be used as the mechanics, but the environment in which it is performed is the mode of goodness and is pure. And for us, then it's about Krishna, therefore the 50 rounds to bring it to pure goodness. So that's then what we're dealing with. But otherwise, the mechanics are the same. So passion is used, but that's, you know, how you say it. So that's what's not understood. Some think, oh, passion is bad. You know, and others is that, you know, what's the point of the goodness of being involved? So it's just ignorance. So, you know, even we talk passion, how many people actually get passion? You know what I'm saying? So that's the whole, it's the whole problem. Is it's not... people in the modern age talk a lot about passion, but where is it?
That's why they talk about it.
They talk about it, yes. Where is it? The reality is they only get ignorance. Otherwise, if, in other words, if the proper mood and passion, the culture is going on, the masculine and feminine, guaranteed, Cosmos would not have made it out of the gate as a magazine. But because people are in ignorance, there's nothing, so therefore something just to, ooh, maybe. You understand? That's the reality. So that's why the Vedic system is here. It's able to deal with all these things properly in the proper attitude. Right? It's not a problem. You can discuss it. You can discuss the science of it. But just people don't either... they like to on a non-shastric level, just on their feelings level, or they don't want to discuss it because, you know, it's private. Means so that's the mode of ignorance. Like that. So that's the difficulty that comes up. On the Vedic, it's something that is understood and that you know the science. Like that. Does that make sense?
Om Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
Jai. Grantar Ad Srimad Bhagavatam ki, Srila Prabhupada ki, Srila Samaveta Bhaktivinoda ki, Srila Saita Gaurupinoda ki.